In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. By God's grace, you believe and are baptized. You strive for godliness and repent where you have fallen. Daily you pray. Daily you meditate on the Word of God, some days much, other days less. But nevertheless, you believe and confess that the Word alone brings you Christ and his salvation. Love flows through you to others. For when Christ is put in you, then Christ lives through you. God be praised that he has done so much for you. He has made you what you now are. You live not to serve, you live not to be served, but to serve, not to receive, but to give. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And so you come to hear his word and eat his risen body and drink his life-giving blood. For God has opened your eyes to see that this word is your life, and this supper is the medicine that keeps death away. So continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do not lose the gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to you through your baptism. You know that there is a heaven, you know that there is a hell, and man is destined to die once and after that to face the judgment. But even the demons know that and shudder. How much more should we, the people of God? For how easy it is to make Christianity about knowing the right set of information and not about repentance and faith. How easily we get distracted by ourselves. Are we really that arrogant to think that we did it right? We made the good decisions. We were wise and prudent. And no one can second guess what we have done. Are we really that arrogant to think that we do not need to repent over how we have handled things? That we've been lifelong Christians, we are members of a congregation, all is good. That does not look like the fear and trembling that St. Paul speaks about, does it? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling because you are weak. You are not unbelievers. You are not the unregenerate. You are not dead in your sin, and neither are you destined for hell. But you do stumble and you do fall. Though you believe, at the same time you are weak. You cannot withstand every temptation, overcome the world, or conquer the devil. And you know that any sin could lead you away from God. And what is more terrifying than that, you harden your heart against your loving Savior. God forbid that you become so prideful, so secure in your way of life, that you turn from him who created and redeemed you. And yet at the same time, still think that you're okay because the knowledge is still in your head. Do you think that this rich man knew? Do you think that he knew about the temple, about God, about the sacrifices? We need to stop pretending that some sins are less serious than others. Scripture says God is a just judge and God will punish the wicked every day. Adam was cast into hell for eating the wrong piece of fruit. An Israelite misused the name of God and was stoned. Another Israelite picked up sticks on the Sabbath, and he too was stoned. And these are the chosen people of God. Sin brings death. How many sins must you commit before God acts? Is it just one? How serious does that sin have to be? A guy skipped church to pick up sticks, and he lost his life. Learn the lesson well, lest the same fate befall you. Do not think that some sins deserve hell and others simply a slap on the wrist. Have you forgotten that the plague that God sent during David's reign? He counted his fighting men, and God sent a plague, and 70,000 men died in 3 days, not counting women and children. Do you think that God takes sin lightly? Do you think that just because it doesn't bother you, it must not bother him? Does he forget as easily as you do? Does he assume that you always make the good and right decisions? So whatever the origins of this virus, we must see it as God's hand to punish the wicked. After all, you yourselves confess that you deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment, and you confess that freely. So why does it surprise you when that temporal punishment comes? Why do you accuse God of being unfair? What have I done to deserve this? Perhaps our hearts are revealed, that we know hell exists. We know the intellectual, doctrinal truths. but we just don't believe that it's our rightful fate. We are clothed in our own arrogance, in self-righteousness, and truly think that we are better. And if you think that I've overstepped somehow, please show me where God minimizes sin or adjusts the path of life or tolerates sin because someone has enough information or has been a Christian for X amount of years. And so the saints of God are constantly imploring the grace of God, lest they go to be with this rich man. They are always repentant. That is, they are always afraid that they have sinned against God. They recognize their own sores that cover their body. They know that they are outside. They know they are more like Lazarus than this rich man. And humbled by this fear, they seek the grace and favor of God found in Christ. They know how weak they are. They have done nothing good. They deserve nothing from God. And yet they also know how loving Christ is. Error is the road that leads to life, and few travel on it. Like Lazarus, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, lest you live in sin and cast aside the gift of grace freely given. Again, this happens through repentance. Repentance is turning away from sin and toward God in faith. It is dying so that a new man might daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Can you raise yourself? Of course not. So repentance is the work of the Spirit in you. The grace of God must go before and follow after. Immediately after encouraging you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, St. Paul adds, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So why hasn't God punished you, struck you down? For you have more than one sin. It's not because you've been lifelong Christians. It's not because of your heritage, or who your parents are, or even that you have knowledge. But it's because he's patient, gracious, and merciful. He does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Abraham tried to help God by appointing Eliezer to be his heir, but God was patient with him and promised a savior from his own body. The sons of Jacob were wicked, but again, God was patient. Israel rebelled against God time and time again. But even after 1,000 years, God remembered his promise and brought back the captives. And the plague that God sent during David's reign, God stopped it short. He is merciful and loving. David believed this, so he built an altar where God had appeared to him, and he offered a sacrifice. For he recognized the mercy and love and patience and forgiveness of God is found at the sacrifice. So yes, when we look at ourselves, we waver, we question, we are unsure, for rightly so, for we see our own sin. We know our apathetic heart, and we recognize our own weaknesses. We are far more like Lazarus than the rich man, covered with sores, with no friends, and no one who provides anything for us. But when we look at Christ, we see a solid rock, a mighty fortress that can withstand the worst of our doubts and the greatest of our sins. In the shadow of his cross, we take our rest. In the cleft of his side, we find our refuge. Man is destined to die once and after that to face the judgment, but Christ died in your place so that you might rest your head in peace. You know what God's verdict will be for you because of what God has declared of Christ. So continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as in fact you are doing. Yes, knowledge is important. It's not the same thing as faith. Do not let the scriptures remain only in your mind. They must make their way to your heart so that you believe what God has said and that you go to where Christ is present for you, word and sacrament. He will continue to work in you for salvation. He will continue to work with you for sanctified living. You have Moses and the prophets. Hear them. Hear also the apostles and evangelists. Their message is one and the same. Christ crucified to spare you from hell and to gift you heaven. And when your weaknesses get the best of you, and you see your insufficiencies, your flounderings, and your failings, instead of trying to justify that you make good and sound decisions, with trembling eyes, look up to the divine sacrifice who bled and died for you, and listen as he says, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Then, like Lazarus, the holy angels will come to you and whisk you away to Abraham's side. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.